Good morning.
Go, we back on this good morning.
We'll always be on good morning.
It is 7:34.
I be at work.
And again, I be laying my burdens down.
Must be lovely for people with a regular schedule. Must be nice.
Who got a regular schedule?
If you laying your burdens down by 7, you have a regular schedule.
Ain't no schedule in trucking.
You laying down by 7 p.m., you got a schedule. A regular one at that.
Now you know I can't drop my voice that deep.
My God, today.
So, girl, you know who I miss? Wendy fucking Williams.
Somewhat.
I miss that woman, because you know what I miss? Hot Topics.
And it would be a lot of Hot Topics. Yeah. Yeah. And let the record show, Wendy told us.
Wendy from told Diddy us. To Beyonce not getting a CMA nomination. To Dolly Parton coming out of saying something that Miss Tina had to correct it.
That was false.
Miss Tina did have a statement, didn't she?
No, that was false. She came online and said, I ain't said nothing.
Oh, sorry, Mama Tina.
Miss Tina is well into her 60s. She's not getting online to correct no Dolly Parton.
Sorry, Miss Tina. I apologize.
Now, see, you got on Mariah Carey's internet just that quick to talk to Triple D having ass Dolly Parton. That's crazy. Back to the point, Wendy told us about Diddy in the 90s and he got her ass fired.
Oh. Not went from, how you doing, to you was fired. Just that quick. He had that level of pull back then too.
Yeah, that's when it started. That's when it started. Unfortunately.
1,000 bottles of lube though. I know the cops were slipping and sliding through that damn house when they was walking through. Sound like a basketball court in there.
Nasty bitch. Nasty bitch.
My.
I think the situation is, it's interesting. It is interesting. It's alarming. I think we can look forward to more people coming out to say things. Not just about him, but other people. People have already hopped online today to, like, say things about Chris Brown, say it's a Gemini.
You know, I haven't been keeping up with that.
Trey Songz. Everybody knows.
Keke Palmer been told us.
Several women have said that Trey Songz is an abuser and a rapist. And nobody's listening. Nobody's listening. And it's because he's cute. But nobody's listening. Because he ain't got no money for real. But it's literally because he's cute.
Welcome to Raw and Unfiltered. It is what it is.
Trey Songz can't whoop my ass.
That you do know.
That I know.
That you do know.
That I know. Why? Because my 32 knows what to do. Okay? And that's a large nigga. So I'm not finna stand up and fight him no way. I'm going to shoot him.
Go get my purse.
I'm not finna fight him.
Oh, Jesus. Did it. The drugs, the allegations, the people that have came out. Because there's some hot topics.
I really hate it took this long. I think that's the problem, that something like this took this long. So you have to think about how many victims throughout what? Almost 30 years, if not over 30 years.
God, that's older than me.
Yeah. I want to say Biggie came out in what, 93?
92, 93? Don't tell me Mary J was in it too.
Mary J, we can say for a fact, has slept with underage boys. Several artists have slept with underage children. In those groups, those singing groups, those young men and young women were coming up in, several artists are guilty of courting those artists, and their parents are guilty for allowing them to be courted. Huh. R. Kelly and Aaliyah's parents.
I forgot all about R. Kelly. I'm sorry, Robert.
Robert Kelly.
Robert, because R. Kelly didn't do that. Robert did. That's when you separate the artist from the art.
Girl, no.
Robert did that.
Girl, no.
R. Kelly didn't do that.
His lyrics were specifically and explicitly.
Don't you say that.
AJ number the number. He wrote it and had that girl sing it. He did it. He did it. He was a pedophile.
We know.
He was a pedophile.
Robert was a pedophile.
So was R. Kelly.
No.
His brother and his mammy too.
Oh. Hot topics.
My God, today.
Hot topics.
Well, we know Boosie's an offender. He done had his children touched, so there's that.
Oh. And ain't nobody say nothing or do nothing about
that. Well, people are saying things, but no one's doing anything. Why? Because people don't really care. And that's a different conversation when we talk about young black men and boys being sexually assaulted by someone's older, especially women, explicitly women. But that's something that is orchestrated by their parents, which if we dig deep enough, you'll see that most men orchestrate things like that for their children.
Girl,
well, for their boys specifically.
Girl, me.
Yeah.
Mm, I just don't understand.
That's why some people always opt to send their teenage boys to their fathers. And if you talk to them about how they grew up with their father, it was a very grown man establishment.
Grown man is crazy.
Ah.
Because they say be a man, define it.
Ah.
And I haven't got nobody to define being a man for me yet.
It's definitely not sex. That's for sure.
Ain't nobody been able to define it. And I'd be like, well, then we can't have this conversation until you're able to define what being a man is.
Being a man, in the words of my grandfather, M-A-N, man, stands for meet all needs. And if you cannot meet all of one's needs, then my God, today you are not a man.
Something to think about. Y'all heard that?
Now that doesn't mean you're solely responsible.
I know.
For all of that person's needs. But you need to be able to meet all of their needs in some way, shape, or form and capacity. And the same goes for a woman. Same goes.
And gay relationships. Because we are two niggas here. Two men.
Yes.
We are two men.
Yes. Where are you going with that?
Girl, most definitely putting heterosexual motherfucking gender roles into a homosexual relationship.
But that doesn't change anything because what do you say for two women? Especially if one is, and even for two men, if one is more mask-presenting than the other.
So let me rephrase. Male gay relationship.
If one is more mask-presenting than the other, it's still a pause. It still applies. Should everyone be carrying their weight? Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't. What I am saying, when we talk about putting certain norms on things, we have to understand the dynamic of someone's relationship and the relationship that they want to have. Now, that's the relationship that you want to have, then that's okay. Now, if it is a requirement of yours and you know you don't even meet the requirement on which you're trying to set, then that's a different thing, because to require someone to solely take care of you while you essentially do nothing, you have to be a certain caliber of person. And
I'll say, because let's remember the text messages I sent you.
My God, today, most don't meet it. Don't meet it. When we talk about being a dependent, first off, that's a dangerous game anyway. You don't depend on not a soul for nothing.
Nathaniel.
Because that says they get to do and say whatever they want to you. Technically.
Technically. Technically.
Technically.
And if you're talking about something, my man needs to do this, my man needs to do that, what you gonna do? As soon as that man walk in the house and be like, open your legs, girl, you should be ready to go.
That and things like dinner and things should be ready. Things like that. Or it should be cultivated to those things you don't have to worry about, which we do have people that live a certain luxury lifestyle where they don't have to worry about that.
Right.
But someone is there to take care of it. So things like that have to be lined up and in placement when you say, hey, I feel that I should be taken care of. What makes you so special?
What makes you so special? And they list off the things and they really don't be anything that makes them so special.
I'm inclined to agree. I'm inclined to agree with that. But if someone's out there willing to do it, then hey, point me to the person. Do they have friends? I still want to work though. I prefer to work. Just because I need to get up and go.
Quite literally.
Yeah.
Put your own money back just in case.
Put my own money back and somebody else too. Absolutely. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Gagged. Gagged.
That's important. Huh. It's important. It really is.
Oh, Jesus. You know something? Oh, Lord. How do we get here? I have no idea. Because, girl, we was in Hot Topics. But this is just how this podcast rolls. Beyonce.
What about?
No nominations. CMA. I think it was kind of like them being petty, but at the same time, I'm not sure. Because it's very touchy when it comes to Beyonce. And it's very touchy when it comes to country music.
I would like to know, did people expect something different?
Of course not. I didn't, but...
Most did, just because it was Beyonce. Now, if we're being realistic, the album was not a country album. She had country songs. It was not a country album.
It was a Beyonce album.
It was a mixture of genres. Now, if they had did like a song or something, I could have seen that. Like, yeah, some of the songs definitely were country worthy.
Almost.
They were. But the album was not a country album. But people expected it to just be looked over because it was Beyonce.
I mean, people was more so like, why at least Texas Hold'em or 16 Carriages didn't get nominated? Because, you know, Texas Hold'em went up there in numbers, especially on the country charts.
Yeah.
So where is it? But this is also, again, what was it, 2016?
What?
When she performed at the CMAs?
Yes.
Yeah. This is them saying, girl, fuck you.
I mean, it was...
Even though they said it then.
Right. So I don't know what people, again, expected. I really don't know. I'm so sorry. No, I'm not. But I don't know what they expected as far as that. Not saying that she can't be in that lane, because she absolutely can. But we're talking about a different space. And we have to think about how most award shows started. The Emmys, Grammys, things like that. Black people were not always welcome to.
Of course.
And so...
That's how we got BET and Soul Train.
Right. But we have to think about the CMAs will have to slowly but surely be broken down in the same way. Sad to say, even though it's a genre we created, there's not a genre we didn't create, but it is a genre that they have solely dominated for years. It's their own little pocket. It is. And so to expect them to just usher in Beyonce just because she's Beyonce, it's a fantasy.
Then you have the argument of, well, Post Malone dropped a country album, but this is his first year in country.
Right. Post Malone's also white.
Yeah.
Y'all should have thought about that before y'all boosted up Post Malone and his crackhead tendencies.
Oh. Well, hey. Hey.
Cracker. Mm. What happened?
Girl, you just said that in the mic, huh?
I don't know what you're talking
about. Oh, okay.
I don't know what you're talking about.
My Jehovah Jireh. You know, because he disappeared and then popped out country.
He didn't disappear. He was performing.
He was performing his
white music. He was performing his rap music. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot Post Malone does have rap music.
Yes, he came out as a rapper first. That's how he blew up.
He did come out as a rapper first.
As all of them typically do.
Because whatever happened to, what's that baby name? The one that had the issue with Brandy. First Class, Jack Harlow. Where he at?
I didn't know he had an issue with Brandy.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, he had a whole thing with Brandy. Talking about something. Do you know who Brandy is? Yeah, Ray J's sister. Ray J's sister.
I mean, well, to be fair, being the person that he is, again, if we're talking about rap, Brandy's not a rapper.
She's not.
Neither is Ray J, but Ray J is a man. And being in that kind of circle, even though Ray J is 20 years his senior, he would most likely run into Ray J and be more acquainted with Ray J than he would Brandy. I mean, but so I think that
anybody would not he's white. Anybody.
He's white.
There's a lot of white people.
He's white. He's white. He's white. How many white people can you name and listen to Brandy? Exactly. exactly.
Kayla?
Sister, don't test me with these mics. Don't test me with these mics,
I'm
sister.
I'm just going to move this bag.
Test me with these mics now.
I'm shuffling. I'm going to shut up. I'm just going to shut the fuck up and mind the business that pays me, which is the business that I work for. And soon, hopefully, this podcast.
Test me with no mic in my hand.
You know, there. You have a point. You have a point.
But I always got a room here for you. I always got a room for you, sister. But I let the chopper sing.
Well,
I love you, Kayla. My fellow, shake that monkey ear.
You know, but yeah, he was still like Ray J's sister, then Brandy dropped a diss over his own beat.
Oh yeah, girl, I never
wrote the hell out of it.
I ain't never.
And then they popped out of the BET Awards together. Why is he at the BET Awards? Do not know.
That's cute for somebody. That's cute for somebody. I don't know about that. They tell you how much. If it got some to do with whiteness, it don't have nothing to do with me. Yeah.
Badly.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna let y'all know now. I'm most definitely the one that's gonna be in all types of news and bringing it here. And my goodness, this ain't gonna know nothing. I just want y'all to know that.
I'll give my opinion upon hearing it, because I can make a quick, like, and steady opinion of something. But, like, I don't keep up with white people. I'm black. I'm black. A little light skinned, but I'm black.
I am
black. A nigger. I'm black. I don't frequent whites. I don't have white friends. I unfortunately do have white family members. But I don't know nothing about that. I don't know nothing about that.
I'm not gonna say nothing, because girl, you like to say forefathers all the time. I'm gonna be quiet.
Yes, we do realize that you have forefathers, Zion. We know.
You the one that always say forefathers.
Because you do have, they're not ancestors. They're forefathers. They are forefathers. They are founding slavers.
Well, you didn't lie. You did not lie.
A lot of things.
That's one side of my family history. They try to hide.
My God, today.
But you can only hide it for so long before one of us finds out. And who was the one to find out? Me.
See, look at you.
This is what happens when I do my research.
Yeah, look at you.
I don't need to be doing too much more research. Oh.
I'm like that.
You know what? Before we get into the topic, you know what pissed me off? We was in high school, and this is when I found out. We was in high school, and we had an assignment. And it was, look up your family's history, like go online and try to like search your last name and do all this and the third. And you know, back then I didn't think twice about it. But now in my older years, I'm like, the black students in this class was at a very low disadvantage because we can't trace.
Yeah.
And if I would have knew that then, I would have said this assignment is most definitely unfair and it's not right.
That's one way to look at it, but it's also a way to highlight how much of a disadvantage and then get into why that happens. Now, of course, they're not going to do that in school, but it is a different point of view to see how that has happened and what that has taken away. But I do think that's why certain things, like, even though it's dangerous and even though it is giving them your DNA, the things like Ancestry.com, 123andMe, or whatever it is.
African Ancestry.
Yeah, those things are kind of important because it has helped a lot of people not only trace their steps back to Africa, but also it's helped them find, like, family members, like, people they didn't know they were connected to, whether they be white, black, Puerto Rican, whatever, Mexican, whatever. Like, it has helped create some of those family bonds. And while some people don't pursue them or some people don't have a happy ending, some people do.
You know? And I'm scared.
I love that for whoever has done it. I personally have not done it.
I want to. I'm just scared that majority of my DNA is going to be European and not. And then I'm going to cry. It's going to be like 2% West Africa or some shit. I'm like,
it's not gonna be 2%. It's not gonna be 2%. You're gonna at least be 30. At least be 30 or more. At least. Me personally.
I'm gonna cry.
Me personally. I'm gonna cry even if it's 2% white. Anything over zero, I'm gonna shed a tear because
girl, you already know.
How did I get here?
You already
Why
know.
Did this happen to me?
You
Why
already me? Know what's in there.
Why me, Lord?
You already know what's in there.
Why
you
me?
You must
Lord?
Be prepared to cry.
Especially some shit like Scandinavian.
You know what? At this point, since we're talking about it now, girl, let's go buy the African ancestry, send in our Dana. And
we can do that.
And then come back with the results.
I will shed a tear.
Girl, you know what DNA stands for?
Yes, but like, you want to say it into the thing?
Deoxyribonucleic acid.
Why do you want to say that into the thing?
Because some people don't know what DNA stands for.
I mean, some people don't. I do think what's been taken away from school is like breaking down those words and then spelling them.
Oh, I can't like, spell it for shit.
That used to be a thing back when I was in elementary school. You had to break it down and then spell
Crazy
it.
Crazy word, because if you was to be like, let's have a drunk spelling bee, bitch, I'm going to be the drunkest. And I just want you to know that I was good at spelling back at elementary school, but when I didn't have to spell no more and they came out with autocorrect, I stopped spelling.
Can you write in cursive?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I just want to be sure.
I can read and write.
Okay.
Okay. And you know, I was the last class to learn.
Ah, you were. Y'all forgot. I was the last class to learn. Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, that
My
makes sense.
My third grade year, where they had took it out of the schools, but we learned a little bit, but my mama and my daddy made sure.
To keep going.
I know how to read sense. And write. I might not be able to do it legibly, but I'm able to read and write in cursive. Mm. I'm not the best at it.
Interesting.
But I can read it.
I remember when calligraphy was a thing in school. That tells a tad bit of my age. Just a little bit. Not too old, bitch. Not too old. But that does tell a little bit of my age.
I've been walking with my hands in the sun.
We were born in the same time frame. Different generations. But bitch, there's a 9 in front of your year.
You are a millennial. I am Gen Z. It is what it is.
Happily a millennial. The last. Right there. Those 96ers and 97 slid right on through. But.
You heard of a zillennial or some shit like that?
Who?
They was like the kids between Generation Z and Millennials, where we've experienced both, and they just made like a subcategory.
Yeah, girl, I don't know nothing about that.
Yeah, they had made a subcategory.
I don't know nothing about that. I had a full conscience and being at 97, so please, I could read and write in 97, so please.
But they was like, I think it was like that group from 97 to like 2000. That was like we experienced stuff that millennials experience, and we just experience stuff that Generation Z experience, so we able to relate.
But it's like,
to
of course,
both.
You were going to experience stuff that Generation Z experienced because
that's the generation we grew up in,
right? But technically, even somebody who was born in 1990 experienced Generation Z things because they were literally what 10 in 2000. So that's dumb. That's dumb. Just stay in your year. Just stay in your year. It's okay.
You know, and with that being said, girl, you know. You were born in what year?
You said what?
You were born in what year?
1995.
And I was born in 99.
Uh-huh.
Between those years, girl, what life from fetus to toddler,
mm-hmm.
to child, to teenager, mm-hmm. to young adult,
mm-hmm.
Hiccup.
Not a hiccup.
To adult. You good over there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. You know, and out of all those years, you have to become oneself.
Right.
In the experience of becoming oneself and knowing who you are, what you are about, and what you stand for. How was that experience for you?
Easier than most. Mm-hmm. Easier than most. For me, I always had the support of my grandmother and great-grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
So, being that my mom was... She wasn't, like, really young. My mom had me at 24. But my mom immediately went back to work. So, while my mom had a hand in raising me, she missed a lot of my first things or a lot of hands-on things. But my grandmothers were there to fortify those things in me in ways that they missed with her. Now, when it came to family in general, I didn't have that kind of support. There's nothing anyone can say to me at this age or at any age that a family member, especially my uncles, has not already said to me to hurt my feelings, to break me down as a person. I remember I wanted to be dark-skinned so bad because they made me feel like being a boy and being light-skinned wasn't right, even though they had light-skinned sons. But whatever issue they had with my mom, and it's so funny because I was laying back thinking about this conversation, and I thought about something that my mom revealed to me a few years ago, and the fact that she went and said something to her mom and then to my great-grandmother. Mm-hmm. I think that's where their dislike for my mom started to manifest, because nobody else said anything, but she's the only one that came forth and said something about something that was done to her. And so that just extended to me. But my grandmothers, like, were always fortifying. Like, they were always supportive, always saying, just, you know, be yourself. It doesn't matter who you are. Just be yourself, because no one can take that from you. Who you are is who you are. It just doesn't matter. Just be who you are. Like, I know we say that now, be who you are, but, like,
it is your pride.
Right. But, like, being that my great-grandmother was born in 1926, my grandmother was born in 1952. Those were different time periods. Of course, we know, especially when it comes to a child being...
52? Mm-hmm. You had a very young grandmother.
Oh, yeah.
Because I sit here and think about it, my grandma was born in 37.
My God, today.
And my oldest aunt was born in 57.
My God, today. So, yeah, my grandmother was just a little bit, just a tad. Well, sorta, because my grandmother was the fourth child born, and so by that time, I think my great-grandmother was around 22 or something like that. Yeah, somewhere around there, like 22. Oh. Because she had her first child at 14. Mm. Right. So, yeah.
Different times.
Yeah. I have to remember that. Very much so different times, because she was, you know, married and all that to her first husband, which was her first five kids. Father. Mm-hmm. Except for one, which was my Aunt Mary. But, like, growing up in that time period, of course, you know, things aren't acceptable. Quote, unquote. My grandmother never used certain Bible scriptures against me. She never did that. If anything, she let me know that certain things, like Leviticus, was rewritten to fit a certain narrative to make sure that I had a confidence in myself that my mother didn't have for herself mm-hmm. at that time. So, hey, I've always been me. I don't know what it's like to be treated differently by people on the outside, because people have just always liked me because I'm me. Like, my personality is not that I'm gay. My personality is just that I'm a person. I just so happen to be gay. Like, that's not a thing.
Lip drift.
Like, it's just an addition to me as a person, but it's not me.
Well, I didn't have that experience. when you say you didn't have to come out, I did. And I did at the age of 18 when I had moved from AUM back to Troy, when I moved back in with my mother from off campus. This is after I crossed. And how I told her was, me and my cousin was having a conversation. Hey, Zay, we was having a conversation. She was like, you're going to have to tell her one day, because she's already been speculating. And I was like, you know what? You're right. And we was also talking about, you know, going up to see my boyfriend's at the time, his military graduation mm-hmm. at the time. So I tiptoed back there to my mother's room.
Tiptoeing on my heels.
Sashayed back there to my mama's room. And I walked in there and said, I'm going to South Carolina in a couple weeks to see my boyfriend graduate. By the way, I'm gay. And I turned around and I walked out. And I just left with it. Because I did not want to see her face. I didn't want to hear any emotion. I just, bada bing, bada boom. All right, bye. See you later, girl.
And then disconnect.
And then disconnect.
Such a boy.
Yeah, quite literally.
Such a boy.
Quite literally. Because I feel like growing up for me, like, it was never a safe space. Mm. Because I would hear her on the phone with her friends talking about people who were gay, and they were like, oh, you know, that freaky, freaky boy, or like the boy with that sugar in his tank.
Not freaky, freaky.
Sweet, yeah, they would say freaky, freaky.
country.
And, you know, one day, even though my dad is very accepting now, we was watching The Haves and The Have-Nots, and I remember this, I was in high school, and I was like, you know, they had the gay boy on there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what would y'all do if that was me? My dad was like, well, you can't live here. Mm-hmm. And that's when my plan to escape to Columbus, Georgia, Haitian had came into existence. yeah. And so I just always kept it, you know, put on the back burner, because I was introduced to, you know, because I don't know. I think it was always something that was there, but I didn't know about it officially until, like, what it was until, like, fourth grade. Mm. And then moving into, like, seventh grade, exploring it a little bit. And then from seventh grade all the way up until college, I just, it's been in the back.
It's different. I mean, and I guess I understand that. But I always say I don't have a coming out story because there was nothing to tell. What am I telling you what you see for? I wore a middle part and a swoop bang.
You know how many people told me? We already knew.
I mean, and they did. They're just waiting on you. But some people really do feel like you still have to, like, say, like, to your family, to the world, like, I'm gay. And it's like, why? You see it.
You see it. You, I can say, honestly, I came out to my mama as gay. I came out to my cousins as bisexual.
I'm not saying none of that. Like,
I was so uncomfortable, and I didn't know how anybody was going to take it. But now, love y'all. But I can walk away any minute.
That's crazy. Even, I tell anybody, even at my youngest, who asked what you gonna whoop? And that's how I've always approached it. My grandmother had one rule. One rule. You never fight family. No matter what they do to you, no matter what they say to you, no matter how they make you feel, how they treat you, you never fight family.
I turn on this chip.
But
say that one more time.
But no matter what, you don't fight family?
Mm-hmm.
No matter what they say to you, no matter how they treat you, no matter how they make you feel, you do not fight family. You just don't. You take it, you swallow it, you walk away, because they're family at the end of the day. Now, when I hit around 12, that went out the window.
Damn.
Now, I may, like, I would give a little, like, you say some crazy to me being family, I'm at you. I may not hit you, but I'm on your ass.
Yeah, most definitely.
I'm on your ass. Like, even my, again, I was, like, young. My uncles, my great uncles at that. These ain't just my uncles. I don't have any uncles on that standpoint. Like, my mom only has one sister. These are my great uncles. Like, these niggas are in their 40s, 50s already. Like, saying these things to me.
Oh, wow.
Like,
they had nothing else better to do?
Child.
Oh.
They had lots to do, including cheating on their wives, but hey.
Another story another day.
But, like, my grandmother would always say, you do not fight family. And that's the only thing I ever kept in my head. Okay? If you not family, not only am I on your ass verbally, but I'm on your ass physically. And somewhere around middle school, it switched, like, the other switch flipped to where I don't care. That's your family. I just don't care. I'm on your ass.
See, I've never laid hands on my family.
Wild.
It's probably why they used to always try to pick for me. Until now. And I just want y'all to know, we can get in the field. Get in the field now, because some people scared to get in the field. But back then, I used to be very much so shy, reserved, very demure, to myself. I got into two fights and going through school.
That's it,
girl. Yeah,
must be nice.
Yeah. And I can admit to that. 1-1, lost one. And that one was because I let him swing first. And I forget, you never let anybody swing first.
You not only never let somebody swing first, but I'll tell anybody, and I just told somebody this at work the other day. I don't argue with men. I do not go back and forth with men. I'm not finna do that with you. You already probably don't have the vocabulary nor the vernacular to go up against me in an argument as a man. You don't have it. You don't have it. But I'm also not finna stand here and argue with you. I'm finna pop you in your shit. Especially because I know more than likely you're bigger than me. I'm 5'5". I've always been short. I didn't hit 5 foot until my sophomore year in high school.
Damn.
I'm finna bust your ass way before you even think about trying to bust mine. not arguing with you. Right. And now that I'm grown, pass me my purse. And I'm still fair because I'm a hood nigga first. I'll fight you. I'm going to hop on your ass. And as soon as I get through, I'm going to shoot you. Because you thought this was a game. You thought this was a jokey joke, huh? And so because you thought it was a jokey joke, I'm finna show you. Because you thought you were funny, I'm finna show you what hilarious looks like. While you limp to the hospital.
Not play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Hey.
Let's go to the circus. Side note. I'm mean and some of your cookies sound good.
Good macadamia in there.
A good snickerdoodle.
A good snickerdoodle, goddamn.
Anyway, but you know, and you know that little fighting spirit and that little I don't give a fuck spirit didn't happen until I got to Troy. And shout out to Troy Sigmas.
Amen.
And
the boys some fighters. Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Them country boys, you have to be some fighters.
When I tell you, you just gotta be ready.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though I didn't get into shit like that, I was just like hanging around them. You know,
My first time at Troy, circa 2014, centennial year, before I even thought of being a Sigma, at the first tent party, baby, them and the Q's, they tore it down. We partied for a good little minute before it got shaky in there. It got real shaky.
I always think about the damn cocaine on the back of that car.
My God, today. But one thing I do think, because some people like always think that because they didn't grow up with the fighting spirit, being younger, that they didn't have that experience, that they missed something. And I'll tell anybody, the fact that you went so long without having to do that, or you had very minimal fights in your life, I think that's a testament to how positive, like, the surrounding you were in was.
Oh yeah.
Like that speaks to that. That speaks to the family that you had that may not spoke life into you for one thing, but they definitely spoke it into you for others. And that is something for most people I envy because I've never had that.
Really?
Oh no.
When
I say my family hates me, now they may get excited when I come around because I'm never around. Like I pop in and I pop out. But my family does not like me. Again, the whatever disdain that they've had for my mom transferred right over to me.
I can totally say, and this is also coming into the topic of becoming into yourself, male cousins, female cousins, them niggas love me. Mm. And they would be like, I don't care what you are, I would die behind you.
Baby, no.
Them niggas would tell me, I would die behind you. They'd be like, we can talk shit. But can't nobody else out there in the motherfucking street talk shit. Yeah. And that's how we ride behind all of them, all the way down to the crackheads.
I would love to say I believe that. That is shady as hell. That is very shady. But I can say I know they would say that because as we got older and we started going out to the club. Now, mind you, again, some of my cousins are. I just figured out that one of my cousins is 38. I just figured that out. I'm thinking in my head, like, I'm approaching 30. I'm thinking she's at least 32, 33.
That's how I feel.
38 going on 39 never crossed my mind until she posted her age. Mm-hmm. And so, like...
That's how I am with my cousin Kendra.
Yeah. So, like, when we went out, well, started going out together, being that we had all, like, the rest of us had turned 18, we would go out and they'd be like, make sure you protect Patrick, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they'd be like, Patrick is the protector. That's, you're talking about make sure we protect him, he protects us. But that's just who I am. And because I'm a brawler. But if I had to say, I know they would probably say they would protect me and have my back. Do I believe that? Girl, no. Girl, no. I don't trust that.
I'm glad I can't say that.
Right.
Because if one of us fight, and they said, we learned that early in life. Mm-hmm. If one of us fight, all of us got
But to. I think to that, because y'all grew up together.
Oh, we did.
And think about, I'm from Mobile. Most of my uncles, well, my great uncles and things like that, when they got older and that they went to the military and things like that and explored life, they all settled in Georgia. And so I had some cousins that I was around, but it wasn't many like that. And by the time like I came, most of them that was there in Mobile, like they were 15, 16. Technically, yeah. Like I said, in my head, I'm thinking we're closer in age. But now that I'm of age and I'm looking at these motherfuckers posting, oh, I'm finna turn 39, I'm finna turn 40. Nigga, what? What do you mean?
You know, I can agree to that because, okay, so how my family's work is, I'm the youngest grandchild. The oldest grandchild is not too far behind my mom.
Okay.
Not too far behind my mom. I grew up with all of my cousins. And then they started having kids. Except for like the great grands that were already like born around my age.
Okay.
And then I started growing up with them. So it's always like, it's been like a blend of
so both. You're the reverse. Well, I'm the reverse of your family. Because in that aspect, I'm trying to think which one. Who's the youngest? I want to say maybe Ro. No, it's Ethan at this point. It's Ethan. He's the youngest. Ethan is a grandchild. Mm-hmm. But see, I'm the oldest great-grandchild out of 12 kids that my grandmother had. Ethan is like grandchild, 30, 40. Out of 12 kids, he's the last. Like, he's the dead last. Like, the dead fucking last. But I'm the first great-grand. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, 20 of them niggas after me. And still got a whole heap of more to go because most of my cousins who I grew up with are my second cousins. They haven't had children yet. They haven't had the great-grands yet. That would be for their grandmother.
We have one great-grand who acts like a grand.
I grew up with y'all.
And I can't remember if he's the oldest great-grand or not. I cannot remember that. I think he is the oldest great-grand. Now that I sit here and think about it. Yeah, I think he's the oldest great-grand. But he
grew up with y'all.
He moves and acts like a grandchild. Yeah.
He grew up with y'all. Because, I mean, everybody else, like...
He older than me.
He grew up with... He grew up with the rest of the niggas. Yeah. And that's why. Like, that's literally why. Because when I think about all of my cousins who are great-grands, like, the majority of them are literally now, I think some of them just turned. Some of them just turned 18. So, like, for the bulk of them, they're, like, probably 19 and below. Like, going into, like, 2 and 3. The ones of us who were born in the 90s, we're all the same age, but it's only, like, 6 of us. And half of them are in Cleveland. Yeah, in Cleveland.
What's funny is, it's only 2 grandkids that ain't had kids.
Hey man, I know that's right. Hold strong. Stand the test of time.
And one of us is gay.
Hold strong. Stand the test of time. Because kids don't bring nothing but heartache and broke pockets.
Oh, okay. Yeah, point.
FTK.
Fuck them kids. It's really just as simple to say it.
Yeah.
Fuck them kids. FTK. But I can say my family most definitely helped shape me in a way. Because I know that they're there for me to fall on. Am I going to call them every time? Fuck no, baby. But I know if I need them, they're there.
Amen.
And I can honestly say, like, being able to have, like, that backbone gave me the family-oriented spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I'm just so... I can't explain it, but it's like come in, Titty Baby. Like,
you thrive on community.
Yeah, I do.
And that's, I do. That comes from a family setting.
I do. Now, some of them, but...
They're family.
They're family.
And I mean, that's how you approach it. It's like, but then it's like, that's family.
They're family, and that we may not agree. We may not agree. But, you know, and they still got love for them. Because I don't have no issues with nobody in my family. I might have a slight problem with one.
I love that for you.
But I don't have any issues with any of them. They don't have any issues with me. We argue. Like, me and my cousin was talking about that. We may argue because me and her get into arguments all the time. We bump heads. And we're like, we argue. And at the end of the day, we cool. Ha ha. Kiki and I'm gone. Like, it is what it is for us.
Must be lovely.
Yeah.
Must be lovely. I can't. My family went there. They say things to each other. They would never. They would never. I had one uncle try me. One in my adulthood. And it's only because he was drunk. And I made it very clear to him that I will beat you the fuck up at your mother's house. Like, right now. And then I will shoot you. And he thought it was a game. He thought it was a game and walked up on me from behind. And when I spent around, when I said, bitch, my 32 knows what to do, it was in his face. It was at his mouth. Because I'm not playing with you. I'm not joking. I'm not joking with you. I don't know what you think this is, girl. I don't know what you thought this was.
But it ain't
this. And he went and, like, you know how family do? Oh, da-da-da, put a gun on me. My mom called me immediately. Girl, I sure did. And what about it? I tell them, even now, because people love to pull that, because you're somebody's child.
Right.
But you're not a child.
Right.
And I stand on that. And I've had to tell my mom that. I'm your child. But I'm not, like, a child.
We're just not officially getting there. Again. So, this is, like, the second time we've had to go through this.
But it took me one time to say it. I'm not gonna go back and forth with you. You can call and tell her whatever the fuck you want to. But Patrice, don't run nothing over here. At all. That timed out when I hit 18 and got my own. That timed out. So you can call and tell her whatever. Because my family had this thing of, they knew my mom wanted to be the perfect mom so bad, especially being that they had put in her head that as a woman, she couldn't raise a man. So every little thing, right. But every little thing, like, my mom nitpicked at. She chastised everything. You had to be perfect. And so, like, they would call and say, oh, well, Patrick did this, that, knowing that my mom would flip on me. Like, knowing that it was going to lead to me getting an ass whooping. And so they thought that was going to go into adulthood. No. I had one cousin stand up because my mom asked me to do something. I told the girl no. And she, you don't tell your mama no. You just gonna let her. And like clockwork, I said, bitch, I don't think I was talking to you. Your nappy head ass mother is in there. But when I'm talking to my bitch, you mind your manners before I find you some. And they be picking your dumb ass up off this floor in here. You and your motherfucking kids. Know what her husband did? Went outside. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because I'm not playing. I don't know what y'all think this is. My family, they would never argue with who. Argue with who?
We be getting into arguments, Chad.
I don't care. And cousins,
they don't last long.
My cousins don't. Huh. My cousins do not. One of my cousins, she treads so motherfucking lightly. Huh. She tread like she speak and keep going, yeah, bitch, you better. My male cousins, they know. I'm not arguing with you. I'm going to hit you in your shit. I'm going to touch you. So everybody keeps it real cute. When I do come around, it's real, oh my God, oh my, we missed you. Where have you been? Why don't you come around? And I hit them with a, bitch, you know exactly why I don't come around. Don't play with me. Let's just speak and keep it cute.
And keep it cute.
Don't do nothing else, please.
Good child. Good child.
I love them because that's the Christian thing to say. No? No?
The Christian thing to say.
I mean, it is. But it's the theory of, I love them because they are family. And I heard a lady tell her son this. And she loved her son. And she said that, like, you being gay, you being who you are doesn't bother me. But she said, as a person, as your personality, who you are as a human being outside of my child, I do not like you. And for that, I love my family. I absolutely do. I would bring hell to heaven's doorstep for my family. But I do not like them.
Ah. Are you disassociating or anything?
But I would cause ruckus. But that's because that's who I am. That's who I was raised to be.
I mean, I can relate to that because you know that one currently.
That one.
Even if anybody was to step to her right now, and I know where she at currently, right, and I'm not that far away right now, I'm on. You ever seen a Mustang do 160 down the highway?
Unfortunately, yes. My mother's a speed demon girl.
Yeah. Cops behind me. Where you trying to go? Somebody got their hand.
I don't know why you stop it. I don't even know why you stop. Did you need gas?
Yes. Find me out and follow me those 3 hours on down. I'm sorry. Well, she's not 3 hours. Those 2.5 hours on down that road. Because I'm going to fuck 65 and 231 up.
I know that's right. I know that's right.
Especially they say something happens to the baby. Oh, I'm coming. Oh, girl, I'm coming. Let me tell you something, sister. We may not get along right now, but I'll beat a bitch ass. And I need every bitch to hear that. Behind any of... Let me say, any of mine.
The word is mine.
I know what the damn word is. Hell.
Goddamn country bumpkin.
Behind any of mine. Shit. I know what the goddamn word is, girl.
Goddamn, that mines.
Targets, Belts, Kroger's, Walmart's. Fizzling in the streets.
Country as hell.
Country with a K, please.
I like that. I like that. Country with a K. I like that.
Country with a K, please. It gives very cute, demure, sophisticated.
It don't give that.
It don't give demure.
It definitely gives contretto.
Oh.
Not you thought it gave demure. No.
It did.
I think, but when we think about being your authentic self, I think your upbringing has the most important part.
It has a lot to do with it.
Like, it does.
Your upbringing and then your experiences past that.
Yes.
Into your adulthood.
Yes, absolutely. And I think sometimes we also sleep on the people that we meet or that come into our lives that allow us to be our authentic selves. Mm. And I think about that from grade school on up. My best friend Dana, like, I've always been myself with her and her me. Like, someone that allowed me to be myself. Grade school, when I got up into it, once I moved to Prattville, like, meeting Aaliyah, meeting Brianna, meeting my cousin Contoya, meeting Letitia, like, all these girls. I've always had friends, like, that are just women. Like, mostly women. I don't really...
Women.
Knowing that, and that's another thing. Yeah, knowing that men are just... And boys, even in their young age, are very dangerous growing up when you look a certain way. So I always steered clear of having male friends. We could be cool.
Male friends until, like...
Oh, girl, no.
Eighth grade, and then we separated, and...
But see, you were mass presenting. I was not. So that... It's very dangerous for a hormonal.
Am I still experiencing?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Absolutely. But for a boy who is moving into their hormones, that is very dangerous. And so I always steer clear of boys in that setting. We could be cool.
I was cool.
Like, passing by. Like, we can be cool. But tell my friends, like, we hang out. I'm always with you. You're always with me. I'm at your house. You at mine. No. Absolutely not. That's dangerous.
I until eighth grade, and all my friends became females. And people, she was like, how all these girls stay night with you and this and third, and ain't nothing happening? Because I don't want what's between their legs. That's
okay.
Why.
Okay, that's crazy. Now, I can't align with that one, because, yeah, it was the same question. But I was definitely going to say, there's nothing happening. We're just friends. I was in that thing clapping. They parents were gone. I was in them.
Ooh, child.
My God, today.
Ooh, Lord.
My God, today.
But most definitely, you know, your family experiences and your upbringing, even grade school, high school.
And think about how you were able to be yourself when you got to college. So think about people who allowed you to do that. Like, I always tell, like, people, like, the people I met at AUM, people like Selena, like, people like Lou, like, those are people who just meeting them at first meet. Mm-hmm. Like, cause I didn't know Celia. I didn't know anybody at AUM.
That's how it was, true.
For years, Like I was at AUM for like two, almost 3 years before I made acquaintances with people. And my first time meeting Lou was so random in the library. Friends ever since. My first time meeting Selena in an interview, in a fucking interview. Friends ever since.
We had this group, which we might not talk a lot, but when we see each other, it is what it is. We know what's up. You know, that's how I met Kayla. Mm. And then who else I was hanging around all the time? Christina, Alex, Blessa.
Love Blessa.
Love Blessa.
Love you, Blessa.
Shit, all the people I was hanging around with all the time, going to parties with, shit, Sean them. Like, okay. You know, everybody was cool, and you keep those cool people, and you know, y'all might not, and these are the people I might not talk to every day, mm-hmm. but when we hung out, or we was caught each other at a party or something, that's the little group you go and hang out with. Mm-hmm. I might not have me a Lou, but do I? Girl, I got you. So,
Or like I tell people, like my friend Caitlin, like, when I think of somebody like, now Caitlin, Beans? Beans is a girl that everybody needs. Beans is a girl. That's somebody that everybody needs. And I think for me and her, no matter where we are, no matter how far, oh, bitch, we gonna be there. Like, we gonna be there. And we met through a mutual. Clicked. I'm talking about, I used to drive the mobile 3, 4, 5, 6 times a year.
For, you know just what I just thought about? Fucking Nyana. I forgot all about my main bitch. Girl, how could I forget about you? And I ain't even met her. I met her at work.
See?
And we've been tight kids.
Rocking ever since.
Her kid, let me tell you something. Them kids might not have been made by me, but them kids are mine. And I would beat y'all asses behind them twins.
We need DNA proof that they not his, though.
I would beat y'all ass behind them twins and that oldest one. Touch them if you want to.
We need DNA proof. Some of the water ain't clean. I be trying to tell y'all. Y'all gonna stop trusting these sissies around y'all girls. And I say that as a sissy who done did some things. Who done made some things
that
shape.
Being said, because this bitch is trying. This has been a very productive beginning podcast, girl. Because you was trying it. You was trying it, my bestie.
Now y'all not finna cuss me at. She definitely pissed me out.
Girl, wait till she hear what you said.
I know.
Nah, Pepe don't say that. Pepe said that. Yeah, Nyana, that's what he said, girl. Put Pepe on the phone.
I love her.
Call him right now.
I love her. I love her.
But yeah, you know.
This was good. We'll meet back here at some time. This will be a nice little smooth rollout. This is the first time.
The first recording to Goku.
It went good. We were just talking too much shit. Too much shit.
It was.